good to be here. it's good to be in worship with more than just two people. That's what I'm used to in Guyuan. It's just myself and my teammate. And we meet at a place called Deco's, which is kind of like Kentucky Fried Chicken. And we talk about the sermon we listened to during that week. We don't actually do any singing, so it's nice to do a little bit of that today, too. So it's good to be with you. So I'll be sharing today about this past year in Guyuan, China, and some of the things that I've learned. So just to remind you that where I live is in Ningxia province. It's right in the center of the country, way up north. You can see it there in red. It's the smallest province in China. And I live in a city called Guyuan, which is way down south. And it's a city of 50,000 people. It's an official city of China. It's the smallest official city of China. And you can see Inchuan, which is up north, up here. That's the capital of the province. And this province was founded in 1959, especially for a Muslim minority group called the Hui people. So they took several provinces and put them together and made Ningxia. Okay, this is my team, my first semester. So it's myself, Christy, and Tom. And we're standing in front of a poem that was written by Chairman Mao describing a mountain that's nearby. So that's kind of the slogan of the school, okay? And then this is second semester, I had a new teammate. Actually, a former teammate was able to come back and help out. And since the Hui people are Muslim, there's probably about five or six, and I think they're building a new mosque in the city. This is a couple of them. And you can see that it has Chinese characteristics, the style of architecture. And the Muslim guys would go around town asking for money, and they'd ask me for money, and I'd tell them I'm a Christian, and I'm not going to give support. And they'd say, well, that's okay. You Christians can give also. And I say, no, that's not going to happen. So, okay, this is in my neighborhood. You know, like Mr. Rogers in the neighborhood. So this is my hairdresser. And she can give me a haircut for about $1. And wash it, too. Okay, this is the photocopy shop. It's just up the road where I spend a lot of money getting photocopies made for my classes. And so there's the family that runs it. And this is the newest fast food restaurant in our city. It's called My Happy Career. And don't ask me what that has to do. I don't understand the name either. So I go there sometimes. Now, there's a lot of building going on in all over China, and Guyuan is no exception. And so they're building some new apartments for teachers, so hopefully I'll be able to move into these new apartments sometime next year. And up the road, there's this, it's called a Women's World Mall. So it's going to be all these shops, especially for women, and then apartments upstairs. And they have like tons of apartments, new apartments all over the city. And I just wonder, who's going to live in these apartments? Because they're expensive. And Guyuan's a really remote city. It's not like Beijing or Shanghai or Kunming. It's not a place necessarily people would go to live. So, but the developers are hoping that they're going to get rich someday. So, and this is the teaching building on the new campus where I work. And I work on the fifth floor, so I get good exercise, no elevators, walk up every day. And we also have an office on that floor. And this is four of my freshman students. My freshman class was all girls, 40 girls. So, and they had to have study hours at night, so I'd be sitting there in my office wondering, where is everybody? And so I went to their lead teacher, and I said, can you just allow the students to come and talk English, practice their English, so they set up so they could do that. Okay, and this is two of the freshman classes. And that's the third one. And two of my sophomore classes. And that's the third one. I taught, my first semester I taught 80 students, all freshmen, oral English. And the second semester I had I had one freshman class of oral English and then three classes of debate. And so I had 130 students second semester. And out of those students, 13 of them were boys. So all the rest girls. So that makes it a little challenging. Here's a couple of the girls debating. Not the same debate, two different debates. And also we got a chance to teach middle school English teachers. There's a middle school, a Hui Middle School, across the street from us. And so we had 12, 15 of them come three times a week. The dean would teach them a class. My teammate Sherry would teach them a class. And I would teach a class. And so that was kind of exciting. It was a lot of work. Spent a lot of time working on that. So we got to do that this year. And just one other thing about that school. We know that there is a teacher in that high school who's a believer. So pray for that person. So parties, I always like to have parties, Christmas parties. And there's a new tradition in China, just the last maybe 5 years or so, that they give apples as gifts to your friends. And so the student union had the bright idea of selling apples. So a lot of my students bought apples to give to me. And it's got the word for apple is ping, right? And then the word for peace is ping an, right? So it's similar in sounding. And so they call Christmas Eve silent, ping an, silent night. So that's kind of the significance of the apple. So I use that to try to explain Christmas, and share a little bit. And end of year party, so we're doing fishing relays, and the one was with the chopsticks. They had to get a marble and get a chopstick, use chopstick, get a marble and run. So we have a lot of fun. And then I'd have students come over to my apartment once or twice a week, different groups. And you can see Olivia, the girl with the covering. She's probably the most conservative student that I have, and she's Hui. She's Muslim, but she's a real card shark. So, okay, and then a lot of the students that I currently had and formerly were former students, they participated, and it was a competition between all the different departments for the sports day, and they spent about a month practicing, I don't know how many hours, and they were the winners. So here they are, the award-winning English department dancers. And this is Mr. Jung. He's my tutor. So I've been trying to re-engage with Chinese and remember what I've learned before. And he is a teacher in the Chinese department. His mom is a Christian. So it's interesting. He's a Communist Party member. He also works in the Foreign Affairs Office. But his mom is always witnessing to him. And I gave him a book about Christianity and its influence on Western culture. It's in Chinese and English. And I bought it at a Christian bookstore in China. So it's legal. I gave it to him to read. Okay. And a lady, she's a believer, Mrs. Ma. Her youngest son got married, so she invited us to the wedding. And I would describe it as very sappy, kind of the traditions. It's a little different than what we would expect at a wedding. So she invited Sherry and I to come to that. So it was okay. And then here is Mrs. Ma, and then Sherry, and then Esther, who is a teacher in the English department. She's a believer. She is part of the house church. And she teaches a college group. She's a college group leader. And three of my students are in that college group. And one of those students became a believer during the Spring Festival holiday. So this is the first time I've ever had students who were already believers, or that you didn't become believers through our work, through our ministry. So that's kind of exciting. And here's the entire foreign community in our city. Three of us. So Caroline, she is a teacher at the number one middle school. She has 1,075 students. I had 130, and I complain. So she's not a believer. She'll be in Beijing this next year. They're going to get a Japanese-American guy who's going to teach there this next fall. And then that's me. Okay, and then here, let's see, if you're going from... Standing next to me is Brad. He's the Foreign Affairs Office assistant who does a lot of stuff for us. Then myself, and then the lady standing next to me is Pam. She's our personnel advisor, comes every semester to observe us if there's problems with the school. And of course, they have to put on a banquet for her. And then there's Mr. Wu, who's the Foreign Affairs Director. And he's really warmed up to us a lot. We've been praying for him. And so it's a real answer to prayer. He even gave me a ride to school. I was so shocked. Go back. Let me just finish. Go back. Okay. And then next to Mr. Wu is Dean Tian. He's the department leader of the English department, and then Sherry, and then the vice dean, Zhao Xiaohong, is on the end. Okay, now we can go. Okay, so during the Spring Festival holiday, I got a chance to visit some of our C4 friends. A lot of you know these people, the TOs. So, and they came here to visit. So I didn't recognize Josiah at all when I saw him. And Paul is a youth pastor and missions pastor at their church. So I had a good time visiting their youth group and seeing what they're doing and what Paul's doing to mobilize some of the kids to go into missions. And there's, the sons are very active in a youth group, as they were here as leaders. And then Raymond Yee, I don't know, some of you might know him. He was a student at CIU, and he's transitioning out of working with Campus Crusade and doing setting up a photography business. So I had dinner with him in Singapore. And then I was in Hong Kong, and I got to see the Knoxes. So you all know them. And I saw Sarah and Matthew Mollenkopf, who are living in Hong Kong and hoping to go to Africa to serve there. So we all met together downtown at the Spaghetti House. So, and then for the weekend, I got a chance to go and see Joe and Jeannie Yu, who this church supports. And they're doing work in Macau, training missionaries with Operation Mobilization. And so you see the sailing ship there? That's part. There's a guy in Hong Kong who owns a ship, and then he takes trips out to different islands around Hong Kong. It's kind of an outward bound program. And so the youths use this as part of their training. So these guys wanted to do a test run from Hong Kong to Macau. So they came and we met them and had dinner, and then they stayed in the apartments where I stayed also. And some of you may remember Jason, and he's in Shanghai. He's teaching art at an international school. That's his wife, Sasha, and their little son, Kenny. So I got to spend a day with them in Shanghai. So what are the lessons learned? What have I learned from this past year? Spiritual warfare, it's the lesson that keeps reoccurring, whether you're here in the U.S. or whether you're overseas in China or other places. It's been a real difficult year in Guyuan because of changes with my team. My teammates, my first semester, had to come back to the States for different reasons. There was a lot of interpersonal difficulties. And so they asked Sherry, who was my former teammate, to come back just for 4 months to fill in. And so that was very... a blessing to have her back there. And go to the next slide. So in Ephesians 6, we have the, you know, putting on the armor of God. And, you know, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And it goes on to talk about, you know, the different parts of... And I have a prayer. I try to pray that every day to kind of think about putting on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of peace, the sword of the Spirit. It's so important. It's so crucial. It's so crucial. And we are starting to see some things happening spiritually, especially the first semester. And I think Satan didn't like that. He didn't like that. And so you can, I mean, we can experience it here in America, but maybe it's more subtle. But over there, it's more in your face. So you can just feel, sometimes you just can feel it, kind of feel the oppression. And we have the authority to deal with that. You know, greater is He that's in me than he is in the world. And there's these strongholds there, you know, Buddhism, Islam, materialism, communism, all these things have control of people's lives. And they need to be free from that. Students, so that's the reason why I'm there. When I would be going crazy because of the culture and things change like that, just drive me up the wall. So I remember one time I was just really upset because they were canceling my classes. I was giving final exams because they just celebrated the 90th anniversary of the founding of the Communist Party. So they had to do this singing competition. So my students, they had to cancel classes so they could practice for the singing competition. To sing about Chairman Mao, you know. And that just didn't set with me very well. So... And my teammate, Sherry, they called her while she's giving an exam and told her, we're sorry your class is going to be canceled. You know, so these kind of things just drive us Americans crazy. So then I remember, like, going to my office and these girls coming and talking to me. And then I'm like, okay, now I know, you know, all this other crazy stuff. Why am I here? I'm here to serve them, to reach out to them, to get to know them, to give, like we were just singing about, you know, the grace that God so freely offers through His Son Jesus to expose them to that. Sowing seeds. So, you know, we have in the Gospels, a couple of the Gospels, we have the parable of the sower. And in Luke 8, 11 through 15, where He explains the meaning of the parable, Jesus. And He says, the seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the one who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. And the soil there is very hard. It's very hard. And I wonder, what is God doing anything? You know, why am I even here sometimes? Because I'm spending time with students, and I feel like I'm just engaging a lot of small talk, you know? And I'm saying the same things over and over, you know? Yes, I can use chopsticks and, you know, that kind of thing. And but God is working, and we know that the house church there, because we hear from our friend Esther, that God is working there, and that college group is growing. They just had a student baptized in another department, Easter. So God's working. He's doing, and he must be doing something there. If we're having all this problems, you know, and we're seeing God working, but then Satan doesn't want us there, so we're having all these problems. So that must be some kind of indication that something's happening. But we want results, you know. And I want to come back and tell you all, you know, five people came to know Jesus, you know. But it's a long haul. It's a long term. And so I have to keep reminding my, and it's God's work too. It's not mine. You know, I just have to be faithful to sharing. And sometimes I wonder, am I even sharing, you know, like I'm not, you know, like sharing the gospel per se, or my testimony, or challenging people to come to know Christ. You know, I don't even get those opportunities. And so I wonder what's going on. But, you know, I see it's this planting and sowing of the seeds. I do it with talking about holidays like Thanksgiving, Christmas, and St. Patrick's Day, Easter. I had students first semester, they had to, gave them topics, and they had to talk with a classmate about, choose a topic, talk about it, and then write about it. And I write comments to try to get them thinking about more important things. We talked about forgiveness was one of our topics. So I introduced the lost son, the parable of the lost son. We talked about true love. So I told them about 1 Corinthians 13. We talked about wealth and success, and I introduced them to the parable of the rich fool. So planting those seeds, because we're asking the Lord to be like a stream in the desert of Ningxia. It's a desert area. And we know that Jesus provides the true living water, the water that they will thirst for no more. So, you know, I was looking at the CCC news, and I saw a really good, I think Andrew did this. So I think this kind of sums up what it's all about. You know, someday, I won't maybe not see it now. I'd like to. But, you know, when we're before the throne of God, I'll see people, Hui people, and students and others who are standing there worshiping God. And I had, and you too, as supporters and praying for me, you're partnering with me, will have played a role in that. So, okay, and sin, we're all aware of that. Just as I get older and older as a believer, I'm more and more aware of my sin. I see it in myself. I see it in my students. I see it in society, in the culture, and it drives me nuts, but just helps me realize that people need to have their hearts changed. And then they can influence, and they can have transformed society. But that's the only way, because, you know, America, China needs a lot of transformation or reform. But ultimately, it's only God is going to be able to do that. And I have to think about Dr. Jones, who's the president of CIU. He was my evangelism class professor when I was a graduate student. And he would always tell us, you know, you can't expect non-Christians to behave properly because they can't. They don't have the ability. They don't have the power to do it. He said, they're just living out their job description. They're just living out their job description. So I have to remind myself when I see that. I see that. And, you know, people cheating, you know, students cheating and so forth. That they're just living out their job description. They need to be redeemed. And solitude, like I said, Guilin is a lonely place. and there's only three of us. And the other thing was the students were so busy with their classes that we couldn't spend as much time with them as we wanted to. So here's some prayer requests. Of course, pray for students, colleagues, friends to know Christ, the spiritual warfare that I talked about. And I'm going to have two new teammates this fall, George and Mandy, and they have spent a lot of time in China. They know Chinese. They want to be in Guiyuan. They'd like to be there for several years, so I'm excited about that. Continued good health for the local believers in the house church there, particularly the college group, and for financial provision. I must praise the Lord for his blessings from this church and some of you and others who have provided for me financially so that I can serve over there. So that's it.